You know what happens when people who believe in Jesus just gather together? It's the church. When people who love Jesus get together, something amazing happens. Something's happening right now. God speaks. God will speak to you everywhere. I can bear testimony, and you and I can do that. The Lord Jesus speaks to us everywhere also because He is everywhere. But when Christians get together, God does something. He makes Himself known. The Encouraging
Word. That unique voice you just heard is the voice of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don. And over these next few minutes, matter of fact, over the next 2 days, we'll be breaking down a message called The Devoted Christ Follower. And in this insight from the Bible itself, God's Word, we'll gain a greater understanding on how to deepen our devotion and to make sure it is indeed Jesus Christ we are following. As we study the Word, know that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you right now at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or let's connect online at tewonline.org. Now today's message with our teacher, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want to share something very, very critically important with you today. I can only pray that you will listen very carefully. This is going to be something of great joy because I want to speak to you today about the devoted Christ follower. And we're going to be in the Bible, as always, in the book of Acts in chapter 2. The devoted Christ follower. Now, before I read God's Word today and before we begin to take a look at what this looks like in God's economy, what does it look like to be a devoted disciple of Christ, a devoted Christ follower? And what does it mean to be devoted? Well, Jesus helped us. He said this. He said, if you really want to know what I believe you need to be, He said, you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you need to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, I want you to just think about that. Jesus put a stamp on what He believed we believers should look like, be like, and behave like. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. So I want to say this to you, and I believe that you would say this to me, that we would say this to one another. You and I can measure the church by a lot of things. There's a lot of ways you can look at a church and determine the health of a local church. There are many different things that are so important. But I will tell you, there's one thing that I pray for you, and I pray that you would pray for me. That is that we would increasingly every day become more like the Lord Jesus, that we would be devoted Christ followers. You know, if it meant that you never did another thing, never went another place, that you never gave another dime, all these other kinds of things, which are all very important. That's what we do. That's how we operate as believers. I pray that as a believer, that you would become more and more devoted. I want you to be praying that for me. We've been together many years. I pray that in some respects, that you have seen your pastor become more and more devoted to Christ as a Christ follower. So let me use a very quick illustration for you because it's important to understand where we are in our study of living in the 11th hour. Word to parents here today. There's nothing quite like it. But here's my question, parents. If we were having a seminar today and you were saying to me, Pastor, what do you think are some of the things that we need to do as parents when our children are not even capable of speaking for themselves? What are some of the things that we need to do in order to bring them up through all these changes in life? Just think about growth. Think about a little child and then that first day in kindergarten and then off to elementary school and then to primary school and then to junior high, then high school, graduating. That all the changes that go through in a person's life, all the influences. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you or do you not believe that children today growing up are growing up in a very challenging world? They are. If we've got challenges today, what do you think they're going to face 10, 15 years from now? So what can you as a parent do for your children today that is going to enable them to become productive, meaningful, whole, and complete, God-fearing, devoted followers of Christ? You know, there's several things. Let me give you six. Number one, covenant it. Covenant it. Covenant it. Mom and dad, get together before God and make a covenant that you are going to play a major role in taking your son and daughter to where they need to be. Number two, live it. Live it. Live it out in your life. Number three, teach it. It's not good enough to just covenant, say, you know what? From now on, this is what we believe we need to be doing for our son and daughter. You got to live it. Then you got to actually teach it. That means you've got to speak it. You've got to outline it. You've got to pass it on. Number four, expect it. Parents, watch me. Have an expectation. You, the parent, stop this nonsense. Don't buy into the lie of the devil that children ultimately need to decide for themselves whether or not they should cross the road in the middle of the traffic. Don't be stupid. Don't say to your little son, why don't you cross the road, get knocked over by that car, and you'll learn because you got knocked over by that car. It's ludicrous. You have to expect it. No, you don't cross right now. What part of that do you not seem to understand? Yes, that's fine with me. No, my daughter, I don't want you to do that. This is not good for you. This is the way. You got to expect it. There's got to be a parental expectation. Number five, model it. That's different to living it. You can live something, which means that what you're doing in and of yourself, but you've got to model it. To model something means you've got to live it out with the purpose of your son and daughter actually seeing that happening in your life. If you say, don't use language like that, model it. Don't you go and use language like that. If you say, my teenage son's cigarettes are going to kill you, don't you yourself go and have a smoke. Are you with me? Because you're going to destroy what you're saying because you don't model it. Don't expect your son to grow up respecting women when you treat your wife with disrespect. Model it. Number six, celebrate it. Celebrate it. Congratulate them. Write into your upbringing of your children celebrations, multiple celebrations. Bring in reward systems and flying the flag and well done. Well done. Listen, if you do the let's go, let's say well done, good stuff, celebrate. Now watch this. The church is no different. Jesus knew when the New Testament church began that these people, these disciples and these believers were being launched into a very difficult world. And he put in place through his church was the chosen place where God determined he was going to put in place those things that are necessary for us as we live in the 11th hour. He knew it. Now I'm going to just read you what God's word tells us about these early disciples. Verse 42 of Acts chapter 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon them, on every one of them. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. They had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, distributing proceeds as any had need. And day after day after day after day, they attended church together. Did you get that? And the breaking of bread in their homes. This was the house church, the gathering of God's people together. What took place in the church was carried out in the home. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Ironically, the more our world decides that church is irrelevant, the more God is not going to presence himself with us. This is what God said in James chapter 4. He said, "Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you." God said that. And in the New Testament church, something incredible was instituted. And it's an amazing thing. It's really gripped my own heart. It's renewed my passion for our church, for being in church, for what the church does, for who we are as believers together. Not only here, but across the United States and around the world. The devoted Christ follower, this person who knew Jesus Christ, who gave his or her heart and life to Christ. The Bible says that as they tapped in and accepted what Jesus gave to them to do and to be, this intentionality, this structure that God gave to us, the results were just amazing. Let me just show these things to you in light of the four mandates that God gives to us. He gives us four mandates. He says, let me tell you something. There's the apostles' teaching and preaching. There's communion, the Lord's Supper, breaking bread. There's fellowship with one another. And number four, there is prayer. So he gave us these four strategies of the church. And what he said was that if you know and love the Lord Jesus through the church, you need to take hold of these things. And when you do and you stop spectating and begin participating, you are going to become that complete devoted Christ follower that God intends for you to be. Here's the key. The devoted Christ follower, number one, was matured through biblical teaching. Here's what God's word says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word of God, so that by it you will have the means by which you will grow in the knowledge of your salvation. That's what he said.
What an exciting place to pause for just a moment. We'll be back with more of Dr. Wilton's message on the devoted Christ follower in just a few moments. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we're here for you, praying for God to do that kind of work in our lives. As a church, as the capital C church, not just our church and your church, but all of our churches, but also in our individual lives. What is God doing in your life to change your perspective on how you can be a part of seeing the Lord add to your number in your fellowship, to your number in your believers at work, your number, the believers that are on that ball team with you? God is ready to use you in remarkable ways, and we'd love to pray you through that next step. If you'd like to, we'd love to pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or one of the tools that we believe is one of the most valuable is spending time in God's Word personally. You doing that with our daily devotional, you can order a copy for a hard copy by calling 866-899-WORD. Sign up online at tewonline.org. Or perhaps maybe just sign up right now by texting the word daily to 30500. That's daily, one word, to 30500. We'll sign you up today, and you'll begin receiving that email from Dr. Wilton every day with God's encouraging word.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Don, I'm a prisoner here in North Carolina, and I've been listening to your preaching on the radio broadcast each morning for quite some time now. I really wanted to write you to let you know what a blessing you have been to me. Hearing you preach the Word of God and how you love the Lord Jesus Christ has just truly touched my heart more than I could ever express. I'm 42 years old and I was brought up in church and have always had a deep love for Jesus Christ. I was saved at a young age, but got on the wrong path that caused me such heartache and sorrow. I've been through pancreatic cancer and a lot of health issues, but the Lord has blessed me to live and to be healed. I know in my heart He has called me for a purpose to serve Him, and I will be getting released in just a few more years, and my dream is to get into the ministry for Jesus Christ and to live for Him the rest of my life. When I hear you preach and teach, it just touches my heart so deeply, and I want to be able to meet you in person one day, and I look forward to hearing you on the radio each and every day.
Now let's get back to today's message, The Devoted Christ Follower with Dr. Don Wilton.
So here we are today, and that's what we're doing right now. Amongst many other expressions in our church, we are together, and in this instant, God has called me to be able to share with you, with us, the Word of God. This is biblical teaching. I am teaching, preaching. This is the apostles' teaching, preaching. And what the Bible says is that the devoted Christ follower matures as a result. Do you know every time you sit in that life group and you listen to someone teach, every time you teach the Bible yourself, every time you come to church, you leave a little more mature. I want you to think about that. Mature as a man, as a woman in Christ. It means you less and less will act like a baby. It means you will less and less need your diaper to be changed. It means that you will less and less grapple with the elementary things that bother little children. It means less and less will you squawk when you don't get your own way. It means less and less will you get bent out of shape because someone's sitting in front of you and won't sit still. It means less and less will all the other things of life just always bother you. Are you always constantly irritated and bothered? You need to mature in your Christian faith. And the way God has done that, He said, subject yourself. And I congratulate you today. I'm speaking to the choir. I believe that as a result of being here today, being in church, I believe that amongst the many other things, you as a devoted Christ follower will become matured. Number two, the devoted Christ follower was held accountable through fellowship with other believers. That's what Jesus said here. This is what God's word says. They devoted themselves to fellowship. By the way, it's an interesting word. It's the word koinonia. It carries with it the idea of a partnership between like-minded people. That's what fellowship is. Now, I get a lot of fellowship in a lot of places. For example, I love to be at a ball game. I can go and sit in a stand and yell and hoop and holler, and I will, if someone pays me enough, I'll even hold a pom-pom. But now you got to pay me a lot for me to get up there with a pom-pom. But I'll wave that thing, all right? And we can fellowship in many ways, but you will never fellowship to the point at which you are driven to a high level of holiness and faithfulness in accountability to one another and ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what fellowship does. You know, every time I'm around you, it seems like there's an accountability that is carried with being around you. For one, I'll be honest with you folks, I don't want to let you down. You know, I love my wife very much. She's the light of my life. Do you know if there's anything that drives me to be faithful and loving? It's because I'm with her all the time and I get so much love back from her. I am accountable to her in the fellowship that we have as husband and wife. That's why I love being around my sons and my daughter. It produces not just, well, I'm around my sons and my daughter. There is an accountability that is carried with it. But how much so in the church? Every time I'm at church, I'm around people, I see people. That fellowship drives an accountability. Listen to what the Bible says here. This is an amazing. I wrote this one down. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Believers should consider how to stimulate one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking their fellowship together, as is the habit of some people, but rather encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Even more so when you're living in the 11th hour. The closer the time comes to Jesus coming back, the more critical it is that we make every effort on every occasion as often as possible to be together at that meal, in that life group, in that Sunday school department, on that trip, that mission trip, in that church service. We could go on and on and on and on because fellowship stimulates holiness and faithfulness on the part of believer. And the more holy I am and the more faithful I am, the more devoted I am, the more I please the heart of God, and the more complete I become as a person. I want that. I don't want to just be someone going through life haphazardly, thrown together up one minute and down the next. What happened here? The devoted follower of Christ was matured through biblical teaching, was held accountable through fellowship with other believers. Number three, was unified through the breaking of bread together. Do you know what the Lord's Supper is designed to do? Unify believers. Folks, can I just say that? I'm just going to go ahead and say this. One of the greatest tragedies in America today is not the moral decline or the this or the that. It's the unbelievable disunity among those who love the Lord Jesus. That's why I'm so grateful for First Baptist Church. This is a very serious, wonderful, God-glorifying thing, the unity that we have. Don't let anybody ever come and try to talk you out of it. The pastoral epistles are full of it, that we be unified in Christ. This, my friends, is not the United States Congress. This isn't the state capitol. This isn't the stress and all the stuff that comes down Main Street all the time. This is the house of the living God, filled with people who are devoted to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. He wasn't just simply talking about the act of communion. He was talking about the message of the Lord's Supper. And what is the message of the Lord's Supper? It's about Jesus.
Time is gone today, but our sense of accountability is something we believe very strongly in. Right now, we'd love to pray with you about where you are in your pursuit of an accountability partner. It's one of those things Dr. Don challenges us all the time. Do you have someone that you can hold accountable and it's holding you accountable to your faith walk? We'd love to pray with you about that. The number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. And now, perhaps the most important words from our pastor are next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If God stirred your heart, let us pray with you. Let's put free resources in your hands. If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. A great place to grab resources like, you hear that music in the background? That's a part of the Heart of Worship opportunity that you can take care of right now.
This year again, I was blessed to join with several pastors and Christian leaders from across the country in writing a brand new 52-week devotional called The Heart of Worship. I want to make a copy available to you and for you to have copies that you can get to send to your families and friends at Christmas time. What a wonderful Christmas gift to give to those that you love. In fact, as we begin a new year, begin it with God. So thank you, my friends, for picking up the phone and calling to request the Heart of Worship devotional today. God bless you.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org. That number again is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org.
You guys have been a great inspiration to me, and I just wanted to call and say that you guys have lifted my heart. Every time I listen to you, Dr. Wilton, you brought me out of so many times when I felt down. And I just want to thank you so much. And I'll be listening again. Thank you.